expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM radio, 97.5 on the FM radio, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Priz. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. My throat is a little bit gravelly due to the smoke. Trying to avoid it, but in the studio with me, I have Nadine Winter. She's the executive director of the Fairbanks Neighborhood
Housing Services,
which I'm on their
board of directors. Full disclosure.
And we're going to talk about
housing.
Oh, really?
Yes. The lack thereof.
And what do we do?
Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing, as well, you obviously know, is a local nonprofit. We've been around since 1993, and what we do is we own and manage quite a few rental units that are rented out at affordable rates or below market rates. And then also what we do, simply because there's a severe lack of housing in town right now, there's a shortage, we look for creative ways to create new housing and then also to make existing housing sustainable. So all those things.
Yes, there is a housing shortage right now.
There is.
But we have a couple, you know, we've looked at this from a strategic point. And over the last couple of years, we've said, okay, if we fix up older properties and put those out there on the market for rentals, low income, moderate income, seniors housing, that's going to help. And we have a pile of money to do that with now.
Yeah, we were super lucky last. Well, we worked hard for it, but we were
lucky. Yeah, it was very planned, very strategic, and we got it.
Yes, and we did. And so we actually ended up with $4.5 million last year. But we have so as a result of that, we have two programs. One is we got $2 million, and we're just going to call it the Healthy Homes Program. And essentially what that is that for people that are at 80% area median income or lower, which I can kind of give you an idea of what that is, we can basically go in, once they income qualify, we can go to their homes, survey them for safety and other issues, and then we can spend up to $15,000 on their home. And then if it's exceptional, it has more problems than $15,000, we can go up to $40,000. And it's not taxable to the homeowner because we hire the contractors, we do the work. And the point of it is that to keep people in their homes in a safe fashion. And so $2 million, we're hoping to do 120 homes that way, and we're actually accepting applications right now.
What aren't you telling them?
What do you mean?
It's a grant. It's not a loan. There is no payback on this.
There is no payback. Number one, it's like there's no payback, and it is not taxable to the homeowner because we're doing the work. They're never receiving the money. We basically survey the home. The homeowners tell us what their list of priorities are. We kind of meld them together, agree on a scope of work, and then we either hire contractors or we have a crew of our own that we can go in and do some of the, you know, minor electrical plumbing. We're finding a lot of rotten decks and stairwells and no handrails and things like that, a lot of safety issues.
What I've always been impressed with about our board is our board makeup.
Yes, yes.
You know, we don't, it's not a social services organization.
No, well, yeah, no.
You have bankers on one side.
Yeah, that's true. In our board meeting, the bankers are on one side and everybody.
The brokers and you know, on the other.
Builders, doctors.
It is so funny. Yeah. Oh, you bankers over there, evil.
That's true. We have three banks on our board. Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing is obviously mission-driven. We're a nonprofit, but we pay close attention to a balance sheet. And the other thing that sort of elapsed over time is, you know, anyone's got any kind of housing problem, we seem to get the call. I mean, whether it's properties that are having problems or management or whatever, we
get the call.
We get the call. Yeah, we're like Ghostbusters for housing.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, someone's got to do it. Yeah, but we do have it. We have it. But we do. And so, you know, like, for instance, in the community right now, there's a real big housing shortage. And so that was, you know, the board was very clear. Okay, it's one thing to sustain housing, but let's also, we have to look towards creating new units because that's what the need is.
Where did this $2 million come from?
From the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. It was a competitively bid program. We bid on it. We submitted a proposal a couple years ago, and we did not get it. But, you know, the little engine that could, we just did. We tried again, and we submitted, and we got the money. So we've partnered with NREL, which is the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. It's not federal government. It's a nonprofit. And then we also partnered with the Rescue Mission as well because, yeah.
They've got the great labor.
They do, and so they have.
Who introduced you to them?
David did. Yes, he did.
Everybody, so I am on the board, and either side has another pretty face.
Not really, but yeah. So we partnered with the mission because they have an enterprise group. So, you know, they're emergency shelter, but people stay there for a while, and some need job skills. So we use our program to give their enterprise crew job skills. You know, in maintenance and just, it's like light electrical, light plumbing, carpentry, some finish work, you know, and then we hire contractors if we need to.
Sometimes we bring over a piece of a small equipment for them to play with and do things on. Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Like Tonka toys.
Yeah. Now, that's one of them, and we're looking for 120 mm-hmm. homes, applicants. How does a person get in touch with you about this?
Well, we have a website, Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing Services.org.
And FNHS?
FNHS.org. And then basically you can, the application is online, so you can fill it out online and submit it. Or you can stop by the office, or you can call us or email us, and we can email the application. A lot of people drop by. We got a couple in the mail today. And just to give you an idea of what the biggie is, the income qualification.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone says, what the heck is 80% area median income adjusted for family size? And so just to give you a sense of it, one person, that income limit is $65,000. Two people, it's $73,000. Three people, it's $83,000, and four people, it's $92,000. So the feds consider to be 80% of area median income. So those are the income levels. And the other cool thing about this program is that if you're a tenant and you want something happen to your unit, if you get your landlord's permission, we can do that. We can do that as well.
Yeah. Are there any restrictions once we do it? Is there any type of housing that they must use it for, such as a rental? It's their home. It is their home.
Yes, it's their home. And so not really. There's some restrictions. Like, so instance, for instance, like we've done some homes. We've actually completed a number of homes. Some people say, well, could I have a new granite countertop? And we're like, no, we're not doing that. But if you have,
but if you need a new kitchen,
you need, yeah. Well, you know what we get a lot of is, showers.
Yeah.
People need accessible showers because a lot of people are aging in place and maybe don't have the income to keep up with stuff. And so, but we have, I think an amazing number of, accessibility issues, or like people don't have adequate stairs in,
mm-hmm.
And windows, we are a lot of people. We can replace windows. And then a lot of people just need work done on their boilers as well. And we've had a couple that, you know, those are the lower end. Couple, the higher end things was like someone needed a new septic system. So, and that's going to be a tricky one.
Is there any boundaries in city of Fairbanks or Fairbanks mm-hmm. or Starborough?
Fairbanks or Starborough.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do anywhere in the borough. We were getting quite a few in 99701, interestingly, and then North Pole. Not a lot in the hills.
99705.
Yep, 99705 and 99701.
But that's where your main housing is aging.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, and the interesting thing is that, so we have to test for lead. There's HUD makes us do a couple things, which is test for lead, radon. And the interesting thing is a lot of these homes were built prior to 1978. So if they outlawed lead paint in 78. So if you're built after 78, you don't have to test for it. But we are doing a lot of lead tests. We've only had one that actually popped up. But a lot of homes pre-78 tells you a lot right there.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. I have Nadine Winters in the studio with me here from Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing Services, and we will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Today's Valley's Fishing Report is proudly brought to you by 49th State Remodeling and Restoration, Alaska's trusted name in quality work. From drywall and painting to full kitchen and bath remodels, pressure washing, flood and fire restoration, even sandblasting, gutter cleaning, driveway surfacing, and log home restoration. Summer or winter, they'll even go remote. Serving Alaska statewide with over 20 years of experience. Call 907-378-5610. Remodel, restore, big or small, they handle it all. Your upgrade starts with 49th State Remodeling and Restoration.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
We're here with Thale Steenhoven. You've done the Valdez Women's Derby for many years. So for someone who's new to it, give us the inside scoop.
So when you get to Valdez, you're going to want to go to Prospector and get your derby, your women's derby registration. The registration, it's a separate thing from your derby ticket. So you buy a $10 derby ticket, and then your registration is $30 for the women's derby, and you get a dog tag. When you get that dog tag, that gives you a discount at Prospector for the week. I wait and do all my shopping at Prospector when I get that derby dog tag. So it's really, really an incentive to be sure you do the women's derby. And then Saturday, you get out on the water and you go find your favorite silver salmon fishing spot. And then you bring that big fish in and take it to the weigh-in station if it is a contender, and you'll know. You can go and have it weighed and see what it is, and we will have the top weights posted.
Top three.
Cash and posted.
Cash and prizes.
And then after they'll give you a call and tell you you're a winner.
Go fishing, Valdez. Easy Freeze is open 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. They can book your fishing charter and blast freeze and vacuum pack your fish. Going out on a private boat? Come get your bait and ice. Easy Freeze can process your catch, too. They've got a variety of seafood for sale at their shop on Chittenah Drive. And if you have special requests for pickups or drop-offs, they'll do their best to accommodate. Easy Freeze.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy this afternoon with showers likely. Highs level off around 73. West winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 54. Overcast. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Storms likely. Daytime highs approaching 69. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I'm in the studio here with Nadine Winters of the Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing Services. She's the executive director. How long have you been down there for?
Ooh, probably 8 or 9 years now.
How long have you been putting up with me?
Oh, since before you were mayor. It's so funny because you and John Ringstead's on our board as well, and you guys were both on there before either one of you were associated with the city, so it's been a while.
I know. There's guilt by association.
Yep.
But it's a great board. We're very reactive. You'll give me a call and you'll have me look at a property to purchase it, and I'll tell you what it's worth now. Mm-hmm. And when you're done with your remodel, what it's going to be worth. We go in and remodel it. Then a very blighted property.
Oh, yeah.
Subdivisions love us when we're done. I mean, they love us.
Yes, we get parades.
And then we sell it. Mm-hmm. And we take the profits and we put it back in for redevelopment of other properties.
Exactly.
We rotated in.
Yes.
No board member is paid. You're paid.
Mm-hmm. I'm paid. Board members are volunteers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you guys put in some hours. It's like, so yeah, we do. We have had to do that. Running affordable housing when the rents are below market and expenses are what they are, it's very difficult to make affordable housing pencil out. It does not.
Yeah.
So we have been
doing it. It's not affordable to run affordable housing.
No, it is not. It is not. And it's not for the faint of heart either. But one of the advantages of having bankers on our board is we tend to hear about foreclosures, and especially ones with squatters. They say, oh, well, give it to
– we'll do this. We got this.
We had one property. We hauled off 300 yards of trash.
Ready for a phone call?
Yes.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Nadine Winters, and your name is?
Oh, hi. This is Phil.
Hello, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. My question on the income guidelines – is that gross income, taxable income? Does it include any Social Security benefits, et cetera?
It does. It does. It's essentially gross income. And
gross taxable income.
Yes, gross taxable income, exactly. And we don't care about assets because we don't care about assets. You can have as many assets as you want. It's just income off of assets that we count, Social Security, PFDs, and any, you know, retirement or income but basically taxable. Gross, and we do gross.
Oh, okay, so it would be, say, on your tax form,
mm-hmm.
the taxable income.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Your 1040.
Yeah, that's what we usually get to verify is people's last year's tax return.
Okay, great. Well, thanks very much.
Phil, thank you for the phone call. You have a great day, buddy.
You too. Bye.
Yeah, that 300...
yard trash. That was something else. that was a foreclosure gone bad, and there was squatters.
The neighborhood loved us.
It was in University West, and there was this. There was junk. You've never seen anything like it. And everything had been stolen. There was not one piece of plumbing left in it. The boilers were gone. Everything. It was stunning. It was that. I have to admit, I learned a lot about human behavior on that one that I did not need to know.
Oh,
it was bad.
There was a storage shed out back.
Yes.
With electric heaters in it that they were living in, and dogs were in the house.
Yes, it was.
Now ponder that, Fairbanks with the excrement. And,
oh my God, it was bad.
It was a theft house.
Yes.
And he had a state trooper living down the street who couldn't do anything, and he was all frustrated.
Yeah, got lots of calls.
Yeah, the neighbors. Why can't you do anything?
Right, and then we got it, and there was a little bit of a court issue, and then there was the squatter issue. So that takes you think that's easy to get rid of squatters. It was not. That ended up being a very dramatic trooper event, actually, but. It takes a while, and then people are like, "Well, okay, now you bought it. How come you didn't fix it up the next day?" But we did. It took us a summer, and then it was a sweet little house too.
Yeah,
just sweet.
You know, when you have 300 cubic yards of trash.
Oh my gosh, it was terrible.
That was like 7 40-yard dumpsters.
Yes, and you know what the good thing was is at the time, I don't know if they still do, but the borough had a program. If you had a bunch of zoning violations on a property, you could get a tipping fee waiver. Because think, that costs a lot of money to dump all that stuff at the landfill. So I actually had a $7,500 credit at the landfill. I thought, wow, I've arrived now.
but we're a very active group, and we use every type of thing to our advantage to help housing.
Yes, we do.
For people who do not have the medium income.
Exactly, exactly.
We're low income, moderate income, senior housing.
Mm-hmm.
Disabled. And that's what we do.
Yep.
Disabled.
Disabled, that's exactly what we do. And we take good care of our tenants. I'm very proud of us for that. We take good care of our tenants. We just have land to develop 8 new units, and so we're going to do it and make sure it doesn't look like it's affordable. You know, it's like it's not supposed to look like a warehouse.
Yeah, it's not a box
exactly.
Or a long rectangle.
Exactly. Equal green space too, you know.
Yeah.
It's not just about house. You got to have a place to be outside too.
It gets entertaining. But you know, the synergy of the board. You know, you have builder on there,
doctor.
Fort Wayne or housing person.
Yep.
You know, myself, broker, John Ringstead.
Yeah.
three bankers from different banks. And it's so funny. They always sit on the opposite side
they
of me.
Do. I know. Yeah. It took us a while. And then finally we noticed they always sit together.
What do you mean?
The same
what
side.
Do you mean we? It was me. They yeah. steal the M&Ms.
Well,
some of the inner workings and hidden mechanisms of our board is Nadine supplies us with peanut M&Ms.
And, I do. Because I look at it this way. It's multiple food groups.
Chocolate and peanut butter.
There's protein. It's good for you.
There
well,
you go.
Well, not the sugar, but
What? So we're building an eightplex. We're looking at building an eightplex.
Yeah, unfortunately, the last couple of years we were in negotiations with the borough for some land because they had a couple of parcels, ball fields they were decommissioning that were really nice locations for housing, like I'd be close to shopping, hospital, and on the bus line, and city water and sewer, of course, for multifamily purposes. And that fell through, so we had three lots in that were contiguous, and so we quick replatted them. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to raise enough money to build them without debt because that'll help our sustainability, our other units. And then,
You know, our interactions with the borough aren't very easy.
Well.
Most of the time.
Well, I have to say. So
don't choke. Don't choke.
Okay. Well, yeah, that was like a disappointment on the land because, you know, why go through that for 2 years and then all of a sudden they say, oh, just kidding. No. And then I think we have another program that we're going to roll out hopefully next week, and it's called the Vacant and Blighted Program. And we got $2 million for that as well. And the gist of that one is that we're going to give grants of $40,000 to property owners of vacant or blighted properties. And they have to match 20%, and in return, they have to rent through us for 5 years, and then they can go do whatever they want. And the theory there is that we're going to spend $40,000 to get a new rental unit on the market versus for us to develop those eight new units, it's about $350,000 a pop. So that's the hope. We're going to get rid of some vacant and blighted properties, get some new units on the market, and then at a greatly reduced cost, the new construction. And that kind of ties into your question about the borough, because when we originally had that idea, and the borough had some leftover stimulus money, and we couldn't get anything out of them because they said that housing wasn't an economic development issue. And I guess my point is the jobs need a place to sleep at night. It is an economic development issue. You have to have housing.
And what gets me is over the last 10 to 15 years, the borough's review of our
vacancy rates
has been so far askew that they hurt us.
Yeah.
They actually hurt us, and I'm saying it.
Oh, yeah.
They hurt us. They say we have a 10 to 12% vacancy rate,
right,
when it's only 1 to 2%. Now, what does that do for us? It makes it so we can't get
funding,
tax credit funding.
You cannot. It's like tax credits is a really good way to get equity into a housing project. And I don't
low income or moderate or senior. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's just, all those have been turned down lately for vacancy rate being too high and the cost of development being too high. But that is an issue. They haven't looked at their methodology. They basically, their methodology for determining that vacancy rate was instituted in 1992. And I keep saying, well, you know, it's 2025. Maybe we could take a look at that.
Let me take a phone call real fast. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio and your name is? Oh, lost them. Oh, well. Yeah, it's, so that's another thing that we have to deal with.
That's what we've been trying to do. We're working with a number of different groups and hoping to basically take a look at that because we just want it to be accurate. Because what happens is, if you think it through, any agency, whether tax credits or funding sources for senior, disabled, chronically mentally ill, anything, they're not going to put money into a project if they think that there's extra housing. It's like, why would you do that? Because it's this kind of an unneeded competition. And so that's been extremely difficult, actually. It's been problematic. And it's not just us. It's the hospital. It's town and our chiefs. A lot of big agencies in town that need housing for people are having the same problem.
And here's the borough study saying, we're fine.
Yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic we can get some movement out of there.
Cautiously optimistic.
Gotta be.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to give you some bumper music, some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we'll be back after these messages.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM 668.
Fox News, I'm John Zossier. Crews in Central Texas working around the clock after devastating flash floods tore through communities and a girls' summer camp. The number of deaths now at least 89. Lots of people are still missing. Kerrville City Manager Dalton Rice pointing to possible reasons why some people did not receive notice before these floods ripped through.
There's a lot of areas, especially when weather comes in, where cellular towers are down or you already have bad service.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem in a press conference says the Trump administration is looking to upgrade the nation's flood notification system. Texas Senator Ted Cruz spoke with reporters there in Kerrville, sending his condolences to the families of the campers.
The children and the little girls who were lost at Camp Mystic. That's every parent's nightmare.
10 girls and a counselor from Camp Mystic are still unaccounted for, and more rain is in the forecast later this week. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports a plane en route to interior Alaska's Bonanza Creek fire came down on the runway after it had retracted its landing gear during a takeoff at Ladd Airfield on Fort Wainwright Thursday afternoon, according to the Bureau of Land Management Alaska Fire Service. Neither the pilot nor the passenger was injured, the agency said. BLM AFS said the Dash Aero Commander 690 contracted by BLM AFS had just taken off and had retracted its landing gear, but returned to the ground shortly after without the gear extended. Ladd Airfield was closed for about 4 hours, so the aircraft could be towed from the runway, according to the report. The NTSB has been notified and the investigation is ongoing. Those on the plane were planning to help with the Bonanza Creek fire by providing aerial supervision and coordination between air and ground firefighting operations, BLM wrote online. And finally, agencies monitoring wildfires in Alaska have elevated the state to preparedness level 5, which is the highest level, as wildfire activity continues across the state.
Online at KFAR660.com.
One night, one stage, one legendary band. Switchfoot is coming to Rock Fairbanks. Catch the Grammy-winning alt-rock icons Friday, July 25th at the Tenenbaum Valley State Fairgrounds. Switchfoot is known for smash hits like Dare You to Move, Stars, Love Alone is Worth the Fight, and Meant to Live. Gates open at 6 p.m. Music starts at 7. Switchfoot hits the stage at 8 p.m. sharp. Fuel up with local food trucks. Check out vendors. And if you're 21 or older, enjoy adult beverages with a valid ID. It's an all-ages show. Under 21 must be with a parent or guardian 21 plus. Tickets are on sale now at ericksonevents.com. Don't wait. This show will sell out. Switchfoot, live at the Tenenbaum Valley State Fairgrounds Friday, July 25th.
This is an Erickson Unlimited event.
I shall never see a poem as lovely as a... Oh, hello. Are you surprised to learn that I love poetry? It's true. Poems have such a pleasant flow about them. Don't you think? I do my best work when I'm not, you know, bloated. My family calls Bigfoot Pumpin' and Thawin' just once a year to keep my poetry flowing. I serve them much better. The Bigfoot with a helping hand.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereaton, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereaton, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with Nadine Winters. And, you know, you're a jerk.
Why?
Because you are such a talented, natural cook. It's ridiculous, and I envy it.
Yeah, yeah, I like to cook.
You know, you're listening, some people came over this Saturday, and I was really hungry, so I did this arugula salad with this, from the garden. I just knocked it out because I was hungry, and I fed them, and they cherish me now. You're such a jerk.
I know. I was drinking wine the whole time.
Oh, yeah, and I'm drinking wine the whole time, enjoying myself.
It was really tasty.
See, you see, Sorry. Fairbanks, what I have to put up with.
I know.
That's why we're on so many Fairbanks foodies together.
I know. food is good.
I know. Now, with Fairbanks neighborhood, we got a phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Problem Corner. Well, we lost that person too. We're starting to lose people. We got to that one fast too. Oh well. Hopefully they call back. So you have another house you're working on 9th Avenue.
I do. Yeah, so that...
here we go.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Good morning. This is Kaya. How are you?
Good, Kaya. How about yourself?
Oh, not bad. I had a great idea for after the rubble is cleaned up downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Why not have one of your big outside barbecue festivals there? Have a whole bunch of different people that barbecue and do like a barbecue event like you used to do.
Well, what I'm actually going to do is on Golden Days, I'm going to open up the gate there on First Avenue, and I'm going to have the engineers, the contractor, myself, members of the Polaris Working Group that have been a part of this, and we're opening it up to the public, and there's going to be one retaining wall left, and you can pick up a sledgehammer and you can donate to the food bank and take a few swings at the remainder of the retaining wall there. So that's what I'm going to do.
I like that. That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Can people take a souvenir, a little piece of concrete?
Yes, they can. Yes, they can.
A new paperweight.
So here I am, discussing this. Kaya, I'm at that site 4 to 5 times a week. And so here it's just rubble now.
Oh, I know.
But all that rubble has to be sent to Idaho.
Oh, contamination?
Yeah. And so what it is you can see on the rubble the paint. Just the paint coating, and that's where the PCBs are.
Oh, yeah.
And so we can show that to everyone. This is why I had to go get an extra $3 million from the state on PCB contamination that we found after the EPA did all their environmental tests and the DEC found it after we were awarded the $10 million. So that's what we're going to do there, Kaya.
And then long term, you should develop housing there. Just saying.
Oh, Kaya, you have a great day. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
You're a horrible person.
I know.
Oh, just put in the jab.
Yeah, I know.
Oh man.
What the heck? We need housing.
Yeah. Well, we've seen a couple. I've seen one preliminary proposal, and talked with another person, and both of them, both of the proposals, if I get two proposals, actual proposals, will help alleviate issues in Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And will make it very nice.
Yes.
And if we don't get anything, it's Plan B that we're working on for an interactive site downtown for 2 to 5, 10 years until someone builds something big.
Yep.
Like housing.
Just saying.
Oh, boy.
Just saying. Oh, wait, when the house...
Phones lighten up.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is...
My name's John, Dave.
Hello, John. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I just want to tell you, I drove through downtown the other day, and that Polaris building is down to the ground.
It is.
First time I've seen that, and I just want to congratulate you and your efforts to make that thing go away.
Thank you, sir. You know, it's more than this getting a contractor out there. man.
It's tough.
You know, I'm out there for the last 3 years with the contractor and issues and everything 2 to 5 times a week. But I got to tell you, it's been such a neat project. I've loved it. I mean, How many times in your life can you say you've been involved in something like this? And I've worked with the best and the brightest of Fairbanks to get this done. I really have.
Yep, and the guy you hired, the Coldfoot guys, are great. I've worked with them before. They did a heck of a job. That wasn't an easy job to do either.
Yeah, you know, having Lavelle's Tap House and the appraisal company in the building right next to it. Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, and making sure that nothing happens to that building, their businesses, their access, things like that. And these are not easy things.
Don't forget about that courthouse with the Italian marble all the way around it.
Well, you know, here, this is what happens. We heard before we started deconstructing, the courthouse was worried about, you know, the air plume contamination that workers could get, you know, from
airborne particles. Or
yeah, yeah. You know, and so, you know, as you're putting all this together 8 years ago, you're not thinking about those things. But all of a sudden, with the EPA, you're thinking about those things and putting in strategies and programs to remediate those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's good that you got rid of it now, because 10 years from now, who knows what additional regulations would be out there regarding stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, I'll be so happy when he's done with that basement.
Oh, yes.
I'll be so happy. And yet, we have to keep the walls of the basement up so the streets don't collapse.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
The walls of the basement hold up 1st, 2nd, and Lacey Street, and they also hold up the basement of the old Frontier Sporting Goods building, which is where the tap house is.
Oh, interesting.
So we have to keep those foundations up and you know, backfilled and compacted so nothing else collapses.
Huh. Oh, interesting.
As you go along, you're not considering that.
Right.
Compact the heck out of it, and I had many meetings down in the basement with Wally Burnett when Ruth was down there, and she had an office, and it was always a pleasure to go see those guys.
Very wonderful people. Very wonderful. John, thank you very much for the phone call. So appreciate it. You have a great day, sir.
Yeah, you too, man. Yep. Adios.
Yep. Yeah, you spent time on the Polaris Working Group.
Yeah, I was part of it. I remember we did a presentation when we were looking for money to all the federal agencies. We got them all on this. In one room. In Fairbanks, Alaska, we did. That was pretty amazing. The takeaway was they were all just like totally shocked. And then I think one of the slides we said that there was a stunning array of molds.
Yeah.
There was so much different kind of mold in that building.
But let's digress. Mm-hmm. Because of that meeting,
yes.
Because of every federal person in that room,
yep.
I got a call from the Pacific Northwest Executive Director of the Small Business Administration.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the one who said, David, you know, you have an avenue now for funding through direct appropriations that have never been done before,
mm-hmm.
through the infrastructure bill.
Yeah.
For the appropriation. Yeah, finally.
Finally, yeah.
And that's what I call it, Murkowski.
Yep.
And so we were working on that, and it didn't go through the infrastructure bill. But she assigned it to the EPA.
Yep.
So now that sounds great in its thought.
But
the EPA had never done anything like this before.
Yes.
So then we had to go through their new funding mechanisms to be appropriated the money on the deconstruction plan from the EPA.
They could be tricky.
Oh!
You have to be tenacious.
Yeah. And so that was a new one.
Yeah.
So then I'd be on these, you know, Zoom meetings with them, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, this is going so well and so quickly, you know, once they realized this is a hazardous, contaminated building in the middle of downtown Fairbanks that has seismic issues.
Yes, very much so.
And all of a sudden, they were the rapid response team. I'd walk out of meetings. I'd go, "Was that the EPA?"
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway,
yeah,
so kudos to them. Kudos to them and the people I worked with at the EPA.
Yeah. It's like happy ending.
Oh.
But yeah, it was a long slog.
Yes, it was. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Going camping is the simply satisfying, relaxing way to enjoy the Alaskan outdoors. Plan to get the most out of your experience with a visit to Frontier Outfitters. Check off your list of essentials, such as tents, sleeping bags, and cookware from your favorite brands, such as Mountain Hardware, Kelty, Slumberjack, Coleman, Jetboil, and more. Garmin GPS. Protect your eyes with sunglasses by Oakley, Maui Jim, and Costa. Your successful camping trip begins at Frontier Outfitters. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
The northernmost rodeo in America, brought to you by Jeans Chrysler Dodge Ram, is coming to Fairbanks for the toughest show on dirt. Feel the adrenaline surge as cowboys and cowgirls from all over the Northwest compete for the gold buckle right here in the Golden Heart City of Fairbanks. This is your chance to witness heart-pounding action with bull riding, barrel racing, team rope, and shoot dogging and more at the northernmost rodeo in America. Saturday, after the thrills and spills of the rodeo, get ready to be blown away by the electrifying live performances from the Texas Unlimited Band and the Kempel Tier Band. Don't wait. Get your tickets now at Fairbanks Fred Meyer Stores or RodeoAlaska.com. Kids 6 and under free. It's an epic weekend filled with exhilarating rides, incredible music, food vendors, and more. Thanks to our partners, Alaska Airlines, White Spruce Trailers, STR Trucking, NC Cat Rental, and Shoot 8 Whiskey.
Did you know Alaskan teenagers can get their pilot's license in high school for free? It's true. At Gila High School in Galena, you can study aviation, cosmetology, culinary arts, welding, construction, and more. It's a residential school, and it's completely free for students, including housing, food, and even flights to and from campus. High schoolers from anywhere in Alaska are welcome to apply. To learn more and save your spot at Gila, visit gilaschool.org. That's GILA school.org.
KFAR weather.
Rain showers likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 73. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thunderstorms likely tonight, lows level off around 54. Cloudy skies expected. Thunderstorms likely tomorrow, highs level off around 69. Cloudy skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Renee, we're going to, excuse me, Nadine, we're going to take an, we have a Renee on our board. Yeah, she's a banker.
He does all the time.
And we're going to take a phone call.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to hear all the show, but early on in the show, I heard the opening statements made to the effect that there's a big housing shortage in Fairbanks, and I don't know if that has to do with upper-scale housing or rental housing or what, but is there any impediment, maybe some kind of onerous government regulations or something that's causing investors who build housing to kind of hesitate or hold back on fulfilling the need?
Not so much a regulation issue. I think it's a cost issue. My understanding is that the cost of construction here is so high, and you can typically get a construction loan of 80%, and you have to put another 20 in, and the appraisals don't match the expense of the unit.
Yeah, they don't match the cost of what it's going to take a person to build it.
Right.
Now,
so
here's another one for you that most people don't realize, and I've realized it for a couple of years now. Properties are selling, and they're not coming on the market as housing. They're coming on the market as an Airbnb or bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And down at the city hall, every week I sign, this is in the city limits, 4 to 5 new licenses for Airbnbs because they pay us 8% sales tax.
4 to 5 a week?
Yeah. And she limits herself to just 4 to 5 a week. She could look for more. And what she does, she goes on all the different websites of Airbnb and everything. This morning, Here's another one. Every day of the week, I usually get one to sign.
Wow.
And it's not her full-time job. So I looked at the borough expending another $40,000 to do this, and I said, you should have had someone in place already. Why are you expending $40,000? Right. I didn't do that. Right. I just gave her an extra duty.
Yeah, but I think
what do you think, Randy?
Airbnb, okay. I was wondering, though, is the main shortage with lower-priced rental,
no.
or does a family looking for a big fancy home have
it's to it's medium family rentals, medium income.
Yeah,
income rentals.
Yeah,
it's just there's just. So like, for instance, we have 50 units of housing, and I think we have 170 people on the wait list. I mean, and they're not, it's not like our units turn over. People don't tend to leave, but I think I know that other organizations I know the hospital has an issue simply because they have a lot of locums or itinerants, and they're mm-hmm. looking for housing. That's an issue for them.
Probably. So they bought a very large apartment complex.
Yeah, they bought Dixon Apartments. And so I think it is across all the income levels, frankly. I mean, I think having more money makes it easier, but I don't think it is easy. I think it's difficult regardless of your income level right now to find a good rental, a decent rental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a home to buy.
Or a home to buy. And I think that's part, the home buying part, I think, is partially due to interest rates are pretty high.
So. Yeah. Randy, thank you very much for the phone call. You have a great day, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, when it went from 2.5% to 3% up to 6%,
yeah.
What happens is people don't move because for them to get a 6% loan,
mm-hmm.
they would have to buy about another $250,000 house
exactly.
to get that utility right. upgrade.
Yeah, yeah. And we Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing, until 2 years ago, we had down payment closing cost assistance programs. But as
yeah.
you're well aware on the board finally said to me, no, we need to suspend that, because what we found was that most of the majority of our loan portfolio were newer loans. And so what happens is people get a traditional, usually an HFC mortgage through their bank, you know, they pay 80%. They don't have the other 20% for down payment, even though they have good income and good credit. So we were loaning that extra 20%. But what happens then is you have 100% debt on those homes. And if the housing market tanks, then we're the ones that's going to lose our money because we're in second position. And so the board said, no,
we're conservative.
We're conservative.
We got three bankers on the other side.
Although all three bankers want
death to loans.
Yeah, but all three bankers want us to do it again, because what happens is that they get more loan clients if we have our products, our loan
yeah.
products in place. But it's just too precarious right now. And here's the deal. No one pays us to do what we're doing, so we have to make sure that we, you know, revenues exceed expenses at the end of the day.
Yeah, and we are a housing organization that's been able to do that. You know,
yes.
I've always looked at bottom line cash flows and mm-hmm. saying, okay, now we should start selling our older properties and buying newer properties.
Yes.
That way we don't have to come in and do a total remake on these. Let someone else do it.
Right.
And so that's my philosophy. And we're starting to go that direction and build new.
We
need to replace older units with newer units
exactly.
that has less maintenance,
mm-hmm.
less upgrades.
Yes, absolutely.
I know. The things that happen.
The world of housing.
Yeah. So the 9th Avenue property.
Well, that was another one that we did that. So it was like this little house, cute little house, but it was built in like 1968, and it kind of looked like it, you know. So we
unique colors from the blues.
Yes, there was definitely a blue.
You look like the Beatles' Yellow Submarine album.
It did, except it was blue. But so in that case, we got a reasonable price on the property. But so we basically had to gut the kitchen and the bathroom, start from scratch. We're having to tear off the Wanigans. And redo that and add some decks and doors. And, basically, it's very similar to whenever we get a property, we tend to have to
redo
it. But in the thing, and it's just really about doing the math. So what we get for purchase price, what we can put into it. And then at the end of the day, we look at whether we can sell it and make a profit to pay the bills, or if we do it as a rental. The problem we have, Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing has, is that on our are rental units that are below market rent. We don't pay property taxes on them.
Yeah.
But we have a handful of market units that we have because we can get twice as much rent for a market unit, and it pays the bills for the affordable, but we also have to pay 100% tax on those units.
The term is it subsidizes.
It subsidizes the affordable. And
yeah.
That's, and the IRS.
To make it so we are in a profit.
Exactly.
And we need those full market rents to subsidize what our core mission is.
Exactly, exactly.
And we've had to adapt with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, so it's you know, and every house is different, but we just, you just find, there's, you just have to be clever. I personally think we should have our own HGTV show for nonprofits flipping houses to pay the bills. no one's jumped on that one yet, but.
You're right, no one has.
But it's interesting what you find in houses, and especially these older ones, and you start tearing stuff. Yeah, it's very interesting.
You know, Fairbanks, about once a month I get a call from Nadine that's filtered down. David, look at this house over here. You know, and 95% of the time it's no.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're going to look at a big one today. So.
Yeah, we're looking at a big one today.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's what you have to do, and that's what we do. Obviously, is that, you know, we've looked at some number of commercial buildings to see if we can convert them to housing. We look at anything multifamily to see if we can take it over, and then also individual houses as well. So.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
We're in the market, and we're adaptable. That's the fun part about it, is we're very adaptable.
Yes. I'd say nimble. We're small, so we can be pretty nimble.
Yeah. How big is the administration? There's you.
Oh, we're small. So there's me. We have, we have I have a property manager. We used to have a loans person, but we're not doing that anymore. And so then we have, an admin person, and then basically a grants person, then maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have a really nice working relationship with the rescue mission as backup maintenance.
Yeah, they do it well. Good clean out.
Yeah, and if we have a unit turn, you know, and it's problem, you know, needs more than, we have a full-time maintenance person, but if a unit turn, you generally need a little more help than that.
And that's what you try and do. You try and, you know.
Adapt.
You try and make it affordable.
Yes, yes, yes. and
with quality,
you do. It's,
aren't you? Don't you have your own carpet company?
Yeah,
you're your own carpet center.
Yeah, so flooring is a big issue, and you know, you turn a unit. So, and for years, all our units were carpeted, and so every time you turn a unit, you got to replace the carpet, and it's pain and it's expensive, and I don't really like carpet, so I decided that we would start doing luxury vinyl plank. And we do the glue get down dine, because you know, can't get moisture. Moisture's your enemy.
Bad.
Bad, 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 bad. And so, but it's really expensive too. So so some other property manager gave me a little tip. And so I kind of signed up as a licensed interior designer. And then I go wholesale.
Yeah, one of our past board members, Renee Staley.
From
Birchwood.
From Birchwood, yeah, okay, yeah, full disclosure.
Renee, this is what you, Nadine, this is what you do.
Yeah, so I went and did that, and so now I order wholesale, and I buy it by the pallet, so I get my luxury vinyl plank for 99 cents a square foot. And we order 5-6 pallets at a time.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's nice. I'm in my oak phase. I was in my gray phase for a while. So, but it makes it. But you have to be clever about that, because here's the deal: we have these properties. They're aging. We're just like all the people we help. We have to take care of our aging properties. So, you know, we just recently had energy efficiency audits on our biggest property, and I'm hoping that's gonna. I forgot about that. We signed up. We helped this organization in Juneau get a big grant to do that, to do energy efficiency audits and retrofits for nonprofits. And since we used our data and our properties for them to get the grant, we're in the top of the queue. So one of our properties, we're hoping to get significant
reduction in cost.
I mean, insurance is going up. The cost of labor is going up. Utilities are going up. Don't everyone tell you they're not. They are. So, yeah, it's just getting more and more expensive.
Mm-hmm. We have a minute left. You're fantastic.
Thank you. You guys are you're part of a fantastic board. I'm very lucky. I have a good board because we can just get stuff done.
Yeah,
you know, we just have kind of thoughtful conversations, a little banter in between here and there, and then but we get stuff done. And I think we've made some really good decisions.
What's a change you're going to make for me?
Which one? What?
Lunch.
Oh yeah,
our whole remittance is lunch. That's
yes.
the only.
I know.
That's
I
the
know.
Only thing we get, and we've
M&Ms.
Been having too much pizza lately. We want sandwiches.
I know, and nobody likes jalapenos.
What? No. What did you? Really?
Nobody likes jalapenos.
Oh, you do.
I do. Nobody else does. So, yes, I'm going to change it up. Because you guys are volunteers. I want to feed you well.
Nadine, thanks for joining us. Fairbanks, that is our show for today. You have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow.